I hope you are having a good day. This is Pat, and I'm reading from the Clinton Journal for Friday, October the 17th. And on the front page, we have a story from Gordon Woods, Commissioner Reports on Work at Water Department. Commissioner John Wise reported at the October 7th City Council meeting the Water Department's 1 million gallon water tank was about to be inspected. He said Water Department staff also was preparing for regular inspections by the Illinois EPA. They have to do that and follow all the rules, Wise said. The inspectors come in to make sure everything is up to par. We've never failed and have always done well. Wise also said the new lime system at the water plant was working well. It was one of those things that kept plugging up, he said. It seemed like the guys had to work on it a lot. Wise said the department had been busy dealing with recurring water main leaks. He cited an area along Route 51 serving the Evans and Stone subdivisions that were particularly bothersome. They are working on changing that main, Wise said. They're putting in some plastic and trying some new equipment and materials. Commissioner Ken Buchanan reminded citizens to bag their leaves during periods when the leaf vac wasn't operating. He said the city would announce when the leaf vac would next be deployed around town to vacuum up leaf piles, and the next meeting of the America 250 committee is scheduled for 6:30 p.m. on October 27th in the City Council chambers. And now, service has been his hallmark. Graves Stationers closing after 40 years. I'm going to discount everything, Doug Graves said last week as he prepared to close his store after nearly 40 years. Especially the cards. Half price. That's my objective. And I said to Pat Lasson, we might as well get the Christmas cards up, which is something in the past that has been more saleable than a lot of things. Graves has been in business at the Graves Stationers since 1985. We came to Clinton in 1955, he said. Graves, whose family came to Clinton from Peoria Heights, said it was his mother's idea to convert a huge old house located just south of Clinton on Route 41 into a nursing home. They named it Pine Crest Nursing Home. They also opened Farmer City Nursing Home, also in a converted mansion. While Graves was still serving in the Air Force, his parents built a new nursing home located just below Pine Crest, which they named Crestview Nursing Home, a name Doug Graves came up with. We built it for 48 beds, and in the end it was 108 beds, Graves said. We build onto it twice. Graves returned to Clinton in 1965 after his military service. That was about the time his family began building Crestview. Graves helped run the two operational nursing homes as they opened and as they built the replacement for Pine Crest. So we were busy. Pine Crest opened in 1966, and then in 1971 they built the 24-bed addition. In 1974 they built another addition, which brought capacity to 108 beds. When Graves' parents reached their late 60s, they asked if he wanted to buy their share in the nursing home because they wanted to retire. That particular type of business, to do it right, it's not your drive, your job, it's your life, Graves says, because every minute of every day counts. Graves felt when someone was bringing a family member to his family's nursing home, they were his personal responsibility. He said every morning he would visit the nurse's station to update himself on the patients. If you ask, how is Dad? I knew how Dad was, he said. I knew what was going on, and that was important. People appreciated that, so I grew up with it, and then it became my occupation. My mother was the most courageous person I've ever known because she started this nursing home, Graves said. Graves' father managed a grocery store, Garber's in Metamora, Illinois, northeast of Peoria, near Eureka. He kept managing the grocery store because that was the only income we had for a long time, Graves said. And he would bring the meat and everything to keep this thing alive, so it ended up very successful, but getting there was difficult. Grave was 12 years old when he began helping his mother with the original nursing home. I learned a lot because I didn't know some things, but I figured it out. Grave decided not to buy his parents' share in the nursing home so he could spend more time with his children, who were teenagers at the time. "That's how I ended up buying this store," Grave said. "The store previously was owned and operated by the Theobalds. I thought, it's right here in town. My kids can come and go, and at the end of the day I can lock the door." Grave said service had been his whole life. In his store, if he didn't carry an item, he would help you find it or figure out an alternative. During this time, Graves also served as a member of the Clinton Fire Department for 6 years. As a firefighter, Graves sometimes found himself aiding fellow business owners. He recalled fighting an all-night fire when the former Quimby's Pharmacy, located on the square, not far from his store, burned. "I got to the top of the ladder and began to feel my way along the hose until I reached the nozzle," Graves said. He then opened the nozzle and shot the water out into oblivion. "Because you couldn't see anything since the smoke was so thick," Graves said. "I told God to get me, if you get me down from here, I'm never going to do this again." Graves said he and his friend Corwin Lane decided they would become permanent assistants at the department, which includes sandwich makers, toward the end of his 6 years. "But our pay rate didn't change, so we had a lot of good laughs about it," he said. Graves emphasized how important the fire department is to the community. Graves was also an avid hunter and chairman of Ducks Unlimited for 2 years, as well as a member of Pheasant Forever. He also has a keen interest in local history, particularly history pertaining to the downtown area of Clinton. The location of Graves' store was a Hallmark greeting card dealer since 1929. The sign is still in the window. He said he eventually gave up the official designation because Hallmark expected even small stores to buy more product than seemed reasonable. He also carried a myriad of office supplies and supplied local businesses. Graves acknowledged the big box stores and the ability to buy things on the internet had taken their toll on small retailers. "I've been here since December 1, 1985, Graves said. "I used to have a half a dozen people working for me. Now I have nobody. You can sit here only so long and twiddle your thumbs," he laughed. His hopes to sell his stock down as much as possible and sell the building. When it comes to his store, he has a philosophy about how his business fit into the Clinton community, and the idea of service is ever present. As the years have gone by, Graves knew the most important part of his store wasn't necessarily what he had for sale. "What I have here you can buy a lot of other places. It's always been that way," he said. "But what I sell here is service. You can take care of people. That's what it's all about." And now the Senior Newsline by Matilda Charles. Robotic pets. Some of us have gotten to the age where we wonder if adopting a pet would be the right thing to do, even though we know that having a pet would help with feelings of loneliness. Or maybe we have a friend or relative with Alzheimer's, or who's in long-term care and needs some company or stress reduction, but can't have a pet. With those very things in mind, a company has created animatronic robotic cats. Joy for All Companion Pets for Seniors by Ageless Innovation. While mostly marketed for seniors in long-term care facilities, there's no reason you can't have one at home. Look for them on Amazon.com. Joy for All Companions Cats to get all the details. The cats are the size of adult cats and come in three colors: black and white tuxedo, silver and white, and orange tabby. They run on 4C batteries, and there are three settings: on, mute, and off. The videos on the Amazon page show just what these robotic kitties do. They roll on their back, open and close their eyes, move their limbs, turn their head, and even meow or purr when petted. and I can verify. When I played one of the cat videos and the robotic cat meowed, my own cat woke up from a nap and reacted to it. These cats are expensive, ranging from $125 to $179, depending whether you find one on sale. They are also marketed to children, perhaps to get them used to a pet before getting a real one, but they're not toys. Not a cat person? Rather have a puppy? You're not being left out. The Joy for All companion pet golden pup feels like a puppy. Moves, barks, wags his tail, and has a heartbeat. It even comes with a bandana. Early Christmas gifts, maybe? One thing is certain, these little robots are very cute. And now from the op-ed page, Veterans Post by Freddie Groves. Missing medical equipment at the VA. The VA appears to have lost $211 million worth of medical equipment from their facilities, approximately 5% of the total. This includes computers, exam tables, microscopes, over 75,000 items. Per a recent 13-month audit of medical facilities by the VA's Office of Inspector General, there might even be more missing because the VA only tracks non-expendable items, those with a shelf life of more than 2 years that have a purchase cost of more than $5,000. How is it possible to lose such stuff? One way to lose items is when the batteries in the electronic location tags die, making the item impossible to find. Items were also lost because they were not in the location indicated by the inventory system. In this recent audit, the Office of Inspector General could not find 575,000 items, 33%, at the locations indicated on the previous inventory. Add to that, staff informed the OIG that if certain items were included in a previous audit, they didn't need to be included in the next audit. Many items had an average of 600 days between inventory dates, increasing the risk that items go missing forever. It gets worse. The OIG learned that reporting of missing items had not been conducted as it should be in all cases. There were 950 missing item reports, value of $31.2 million, that had not been completely investigated, and over 200 items that hadn't been reported at all. So what happens when proper inventories aren't done? If nothing else, items can't be assessed to determine whether they're in condition to be used for patient care. If inventories aren't accurate, medical items can't be found immediately for patient care. If missing item reports aren't done, it can't be determined just how those items came to be missing. And there can't be accurate planning of future purchases if there isn't an accurate accounting of what is actually on hand. I hope VA Secretary Doug Collins is paying attention to this. Important safety information from Nicor Gas. Stay alert and stay safe. National gas pipeline incidents are uncommon, and you can help prevent them, even if you're not a Nicor Gas customer. Below are tips to identify and respond to possible natural gas leak. Look for blowing dirt, discolored vegetation, or continued bubbling in standing water. Listen for a hissing or roaring noise near national gas appliance or line. Smell for the distinctive rotten egg odor associated with natural gas. Natural gas is colorless and odorless, so we add a chemical odorant called mercaptan for easy detection. If you detect even a small amount of this odor, act immediately. Note, be aware that odorant fade, while uncommon, occurs when a physical or chemical process causes the level of odorant in the gas to be reduced. This can happen in both existing gas pipeline and new installations. Some individuals may not be able to detect the odorant because they have diminished sense of smell, because the scent is being masked by other odors in the area, or because the odor has diminished. Some gas lines, due to their unique function, may not have odor at all. If you detect even a small amount of this odor in the air, do not try to identify the source or stop the leak yourself. Leave the area immediately and move to a safe distance away. Avoid using any sources of ignition, such as cell phones, cigarettes, matches, fat flashlights, electronic devices, motorized vehicles, light switches, or landlines, as natural gas can ignite from a spark or open flame, possibly causing a fire or explosion. While natural gas is non-toxic, in confined spaces it can displace oxygen, potentially causing asphyxiation. Call us at 888-642-6748 once you are safely away from the leak area. That's 888-642-6748. A salute to farmers. Agriculture is essential to the American economy. In 2023, agriculture, food, and related industries contributed approximately $1.53 trillion to the U.S. economy, accounting for 5.6% of the total GDP. This encompasses a wide collection of sectors including farms, food services, textiles and leather manufacturing, food and tobacco manufacturing, forestry and fishing, and food and beverage stores. As a significant contributor to the nation's GDP, the agricultural not only sustains rural communities, but also fuels urban economies. Through a complex web of supply chains and business activities, the impact of production and agricultural exports extends far beyond the farm gate, sustaining local, national, and global economies. Food spending supports many sectors. When a consumer spends $1 on food produced in the U.S., just 7 cents of that dollar goes back to the farmers. The rest supports the wraparound industries that deliver, sell, and market food products to consumers, including food services, food processing, retail, wholesale, energy transportation, finance, insurance, and other sectors. This ripple effect of the food dollar stems from agricultural activities and directly benefits local restaurants, supermarkets, and other Main Street businesses. Food and agriculture supports more than 34 million jobs. In 2022, there were more than 22 million people directly involved by the agricultural and food sectors, representing 10.4% of total U.S. employment. The largest share of these jobs is in food services, including restaurants and bars. Overall, the people working directly in agriculture and food sectors, those working on farms, in food and beverage stores, in forestry or fishing, or in food, beverage, and tobacco manufacturing, contribute nearly $3.8 trillion in economic output and earn wages amounting to nearly $1 trillion. Additionally, people working indirectly with the agricultural and food sectors comprise over 12 million additional jobs, contribute nearly $3.1 trillion to economic output, and earn wages amounting to $915 billion. This cascading effect is what makes the agriculture and food industry so vital to local business, workers, and economies across the country. Agriculture stimulates job creation among suppliers and adjacent businesses, including communications, finance, technology industries, local real estate market, manufacturing plants, and various entertainment venues. This interconnectedness supports small businesses and fosters a sense of joint community resilience and prosperity. Exports are critical to American agriculture. The U.S. is one of the world's largest agricultural exporters, and American farmers and ranchers depend on exports. Around 20% of U.S. farm products by value are exported each year, according to the American Farm Bureau Federation. Agricultural exports reached $175 billion in fiscal year 2023. For many crops, such as wheat or almonds, more than half of the harvest is sold abroad. U.S. farmers and ranchers are so productive, there's no way Americans could consume this bounty alone. The Farm Bureau estimates that one American farm produces enough to feed 166 people annually, making exports essential to the prosperity of the U.S. farm and ranching community. The competitiveness of U.S. agriculture reflects the strength of the entire supply chain, including manufacturing, logistics, and financial services. When U.S. agriculture products are in high demand internationally, it indicates that the country is producing high-quality goods efficiently, which is a positive signal for investors and business alike. Farm and food market exports drive significant economic activity. According to the USDA estimates, each $1 in agricultural export generates over $2 in additional domestic activity. Grain exports, for instance, boost farm activity through input purchases like fuel and fertilizer, which stimulate manufacturing, trade, and transportation sectors. Exporting grain also requires data processing, financial, legal, managerial, and administrative services. In 2022, U.S. agricultural exports worth $197.4 billion generated an additional $214.6 billion in economic activity, totaling $412 billion. The services, trade, and transportation sectors benefited with the most, with $73.6 billion in additional activity, while on-farm exports supported an extra $70.4 billion in business activity. Exports are critical to the prosperity of American farmers and ranchers. Hungry customers around the world consistently demonstrate a high level of demand for their products, and U.S. farmers and ranchers benefit greatly from export earnings. The financial stability exports provide is crucial for businesses across all sectors, as it fosters a favorable economic environment characterized by low inflation, stable interest rates, and increased investor confidence. Agricultural exports by state. The agricultural landscape of the U.S. is as diverse as it is expansive, with each state adding its unique offerings to both export markets and its local economies. California is the leading state in export value, with tree nuts reigning as its premier export. Other significant contributors include Iowa, Illinois, Minnesota, and Nebraska, each renowned for their soybean exports. Dairy is the chief agricultural export for Idaho, New Mexico, Wisconsin, and New York, while pork is king in North Carolina. Sustainability and the future of agriculture. Focusing on sustainability and precision agriculture is essential for ensuring the competitiveness of the U.S. agriculture production and exports. Precision agriculture technologies could increase U.S. crop production by 4% and reduce input costs by 7%, which would generate nearly $13 billion in net farm income annually. These technological innovations not only improve the profitability of farms, but also the position of U.S. as a leader in cutting-edge agricultural practices. By continuing to adopt sustainable practices, American farmers are reducing environmental impact, conserving natural resources, enhancing soil health, and sequestering carbon, leading to more resilient and productive farming systems. Conservation practices, which are a key component of sustainable agriculture, have led to a 58% reduction in soil erosion in cropland since 1982. This preserves soil health and enhances long-term agricultural productivity. By prioritizing sustainability and regenerative and precision agriculture, the U.S. can meet the growing global demand for high-quality, sustainably produced food, strengthening its competitive edge in international markets and securing long-term economic growth in the agricultural sector. This information is from the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. And now another op-ed. On Point by Richard Koritz. Peace in the Middle East? Peace is elusive and rarely lasting. Whether it is greed or ideology, these truths have been proven over the eons of time. The Romans achieved a peace for their culture called the Pax Romana. Genghis Khan achieved peace in Mongolia and China. The key for both cultures was a military that was simply dramatically better than all the others. Trump seems to have followed suit with the Romans and the Mongols. He has forced, for at least the moment, a semblance of peace in the Middle East. For that, he is certainly to be given credit. Trump is a business-minded leader and operates through strength. Trump envisions Gaza as being the next high-end vacation destination. He may have a very valid point. Gaza has a climate that most people want and will spend a lot of money to either vacation or live there if there is peace. The logic of that is simple and understandable. Everybody makes money and the climate is great. It sounds too good to be true, and it probably is. If peace can be achieved through business and economics, then Trump is our best bet for that to occur. Trump has the business and world political connections to make such a concept into reality. I have no doubt, if rational thought prevails, the Trump plan will succeed. My problem is that concept of rational thought. Ideology is also a player in the Middle East and much of the world. The common vernacular states that ideologues ain't got no common sense. Ideology through theology has created tension and war since the beginning of time. Just look at the last 125 years of world history. The Turkish Muslim army massacred hundreds of thousands of Christians in 1915. The Nazis in Germany decimated those of the Jewish faith during World War II era. Today in Nigeria, radical Islamists are slaughtering Christians in the rural parts of the country. Africa has had its tribal wars, and Europe had its conflicts between Protestant and Catholic nations. Radical ideology essentially means that the adherent's position is correct, and any means necessary to enforce that ideology is therefore justified. The means justify the end becomes the mantra of the mob. Mob action rules. In Gaza, we saw this ideology at work as soon as Israel withdrew from its military positions in Gaza. The Hamas terrorists simply put on vests that said please and started to execute those they believe assisted the Israeli forces over the past 2 years. Trump has a 20-point plan which appears reasonable and has support of other nations in the Middle East. The plan calls for an Arab security force for safeguarding Gaza and Hamas disarming. The key will be the Arab moderates being willing to put the hammer down on Hamas and other ideologues who wish to assert and exercise radical Islamic theology. This is the key question. The Romans and Genghis Khan made peace work through military might. Military force is what is supporting Trump's peace plan. Will it work? History would tell us no, but Trump may be the person to change history. Let us pray for peace in the Middle East and the rest of the world. Richard Koritz is an Illinois native attorney and former DeWitt County State's Attorney. I will be back with you next week. Get out and enjoy some of the nice fall weather and some of the leaves that are actually turning. Good day.